Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
To our Monday chat with the political junkie Ken Rudin. Hi, Ken. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Kerry.
It was a big news cycle, wasn't it, since we last spoke? It feels like three weeks passed.
How many times have we said that, right?
I know. So if you have a question for Ken about Roy Moore, Al Franken, the tax bill, politics in general, here's the phone number, 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828. You can also get to us on Twitter, at @KerryNPR. Ken, I want to talk to you about Senator Franken, because this happened, his decision to resign, the pressure, and then his decision to resign happened after we last spoke. There's a lot of discussion here in Minnesota about the tone of Senator Franken's resignation speech, the obvious reluctance to leave, and his contention in that speech that he would have been cleared in an ethics investigation. And I'd like your impression of what he said.
You know something, I've read a lot about this online, and I watched it live, and I couldn't get my eyes off it. But it was interesting that as contrite and as shameful as he sounded, he still didn't seem to, look, I don't know if we want to extract blood from everybody who has to go through these confessions, but it just didn't seem like he was admitting anything. He seems like he is stuck to what he said from the beginning, which was, my memory of what happened was different than the others, but I basically had no choice but to resign. And of course, he had that famous line that the irony didn't escape him, that he's leaving office while Roy Moore may be elected on Tuesday in Alabama and President Trump is in the White House. But it didn't seem, it wasn't defiant, but it wasn't as contrite as some people were hoping. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think there were also allusions in this speech, again, to what he has said all along. And you and I have talked about the dissonance of that, which is the women should be heard. I remember this differently. And I actually think there was a tone of that again in his resignation. If they, meaning his colleagues, didn't think I had to do this, I wouldn't be doing this because I don't think what I did was necessarily that bad. It's confusing to try to figure out where he's at.
Agree completely. And the fact is that he did seem to be resigning because so many of his Democratic colleagues, as a matter of fact, nearly every female Democratic colleague, plus Susan Collins of Maine, the Republican from Maine, called for his resignation. But then a lot of people I've seen also references to this fact that had the governor of Minnesota been a Republican, not Mark Dayton, the Democrat, mm-hmm. but had it been a Republican, would they have forced Franken out? Because obviously when Franken resigns, Dayton will appoint, obviously, a fellow Democrat to that seat. But if it were a Republican, it would have been a Republican. Would they have forced him to resign had there been a Republican governor? And that's been talked about a lot as well.
Here's Veronica on Twitter who says, Senator Franken's resignation after hearing about coastal elites since the 2016 election, it's the first time I felt indignation at them. Minnesota elected Al twice, and Senator Gillibrand, and that's the senator from New York, took our opportunity to get answers, investigate, and then decide. And Veronica adds, grandstanding outsider. Kirsten Gillibrand has been at the head of this, and it seems like when she came out to say, this is not the conversation we should be having, he has to go, then it really snowballed into a drumbeat he couldn't ignore.
And remember, Kirsten Gillibrand is also the Democrat, the pro-Clinton Democrat, who has Hillary Clinton's Senate seat in New York. She also said that, in retrospect, Bill Clinton should have resigned his presidency during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. So it seems like we've gone from somewhat tolerance, I don't know if tolerance is the right word, but to an absolute no tolerance, and also rewriting history books in the fact that not only should we get rid of every Democrat, and I'm not saying this sarcastically or judgmentally, but not only should every Democrat accused of such misconduct resign, but then she also went back in history. Well, maybe Bill Clinton should have resigned as well.
I wonder what you think of the debate that's going on about the Democrats deciding that this is a moment to lead with moral authority. And then I was listening to Dahlia Lithwick yesterday on the Media, and she's really smart. She writes about politics and the courts. And she was arguing that moral authority has no place in the kind of asymmetrical political playing field that we're on. So, Ken, listen to what she had to say, and then I'll be curious about what you think.
2 weeks ago, the same Republican senators who were saying, absolutely, we believe these women, more cannot be seated, are now not only funding him, but colluding to say, well, if he says they're all liars, they must be liars. As Democrats try to clean house, Republicans are at the same time moving the goalposts so that things that were breathtaking 2 weeks ago are now perfectly okay.
What do you think, Ken?
Well, I disagree with that broad generalization, just as I disagree with what Franken said in his resignation statement, saying that while I'm doing this, all the Republicans are backing Roy Moore. All the Republicans are not backing Roy Moore. Most of the Senate Republicans, the Mitch McConnells, Speaker Ryan in the House, most of them sticking with their guns, saying that Roy Moore is absolutely unfit to be a senator. Jeff Flake, the retiring, and it's not a coincidence that he's retiring, but the retiring senator from Arizona showed a check that he's sending to Doug Jones, the Democrat there. But it is true that Donald Trump, who was kind of like on the fence and kind of wary, now is going all out for Roy Moore. The Republican National Committee, which said they would pull out completely from the Alabama Senate race, now took Trump's lead and is now going into Alabama. It's just interesting, you know, just a few weeks ago, as Dahlia makes a point of saying, not long ago, Donald Trump was saying to all these women who came forward against Al Franken that they should be heard, that they have a case to be made, that we need to hear them. And then all the women now suddenly who were talking about Roy Moore are liars. All the women who were talking about Donald Trump are liars.
I mean, it's so transparently political in the way that Trump hears this. But I've kind of set that aside and I'm listening more, I think, to this discussion that's going on in Congress. A call for you here, Ken, from Sam in Minneapolis. Hi, Sam. What do you want to know?
Hi, Carrie and Ken. Thanks for taking my call. So even the first part of your discussion is interesting to me because the conversation about Roy Moore has focused on the sexual deviancy allegations. And I haven't been hearing much in the print or on the radio or on television about the fact that isn't there a fundamental competency question with him in that he was removed from the Alabama Supreme Court twice? So let's assume the deviancy concerns are just allegations. I think that we're doing a disservice to this conversation by also not focusing on the fact that there's just some general competency concerns. If I was fired twice from my current job, I wouldn't be considered for a higher level position.
Ah, but this is politics, Sam, and it's all different. Ken, what about that? The competency question.
Well, no, Sam makes a very important point. Roy Moore, his competency, his belief in the Constitution, I say that in quotes, has been under fire for years. Sam is exactly right. He was twice elected Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, twice removed, one because he insisted on putting the Ten Commandments in public view and on public property, on government property, which he refused to remove. And the second one, he refused to acknowledge the fact that gay same-sex marriage is legal in this country, and twice he was removed from office. So the voters back in Alabama know who Roy Moore is. The fact is he's run for governor twice and, you know, didn't do well in the primary at all. But now when it's us against them, when it's Washington outsiders against us, the true Alabamans, he is, you know, he's become almost a folk hero. I think it's so remarkable that Alabama, which prides itself as being a very Christian evangelical state that believes in religious values, is backing somebody like Roy Moore. But the politics of Roy Moore, aside from all these accusations about impropriety, has been around Roy Moore forever. And the fact that so many Republicans are ignoring that because now it's become he is us fighting the evil outsiders from Washington is overshadowing everything. And Sam makes a very good point.
I mean, Ken, I was going to say, that's why I think Sam is right. In the business world, you know, being removed and fired twice for competency would not mean you were the person that, you know, would be put up for the CEO job. But that's why I said, oh, this is politics and it's different.
That's true, but in fairness, let me just say one thing quickly. In fairness, Harvey Weinstein was getting away with it forever,
right,
until he was no longer getting away with it. And now nobody, as we saw in journalism, in the media, nobody's getting away with it, even if the accusations are years, if not decades old. Politics is taking a longer time for voters to come around that view.
Yeah, that's right. Phone call here from Dean in Burnsville. Hi, Dean. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I'm thinking about how there is an absolute rush to judgment without any due process whatsoever. Your last three shows on Mondays have assumed the truth of every allegation made against Al Franken. And you've talked about him, therefore, lacking contrition. But what if, in fact, he is right? He has admitted the wrongness of the photograph of the mugged groping. He has admitted that he kissed Leanne Tieden, although he said he doesn't remember it the way she does, but he's not going to deny her account. Mm-hmm. And with respect to the three women that have alleged that he's groped them, he says, I do not remember them. I do not grope women.
Yeah, Dean, remember that he's a grown man and it was his decision, with all of the information that he had to consider, to resign. He might have gotten pressure from his colleagues, but that's their prerogative and his to decide whether he's going to succumb to that pressure. Ken, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I honestly don't think Franken had a choice. If Franken felt he had a choice, if he felt
he
that
had
he could
a choice,
have gone,
Ken, he could have. Yeah, well, I mean, he could have withstood.
He could have fought to the ethics committee.
That's
but,
right.
But when you have the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, all these Democratic women in the Senate saying, you have to go, you have to go, you have to go, I can't see how he could have possibly stood up and withstood that kind of pressure. But at the same time, the fact, look, I think the first groping picture, I think, whatever you want to think about that, but the fact is there's more than three women who have come forward regarding grabbing parts of the body during photographs. And it's not that he's denied it. He says, I don't remember it. And usually when you say, I don't remember it, there seems to be, you almost seem to be more inclined to believe the accusers than the accused. Fair or not?
I think we should believe the accuser. I mean, maybe this is what Dean's responding to. I think we should, because, and we were just talking about this morning, the percentage of false accusations on this is small. I don't have the number at hand. I will have it at hand the next time we talk about this. But that's just a fraction compared to.
And if it was just Leanne, and that would be one thing. But the fact that more than many women have come forward with these kind of stories about these photographs, it seems like it's fitting a pattern.
Yeah. Call here from Janice in Minneapolis. Hi, Janice. What are you thinking about?
Hi. I'm very concerned about the dynamics of the 2018 elections in Minnesota, given that we will have two senator races. And I'm also interested to know what dynamics now surround Amy Klobuchar's election. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Ken, what do you think? This is something we had not anticipated here.
Well, you didn't expect a special election for the Franken seat, that's for sure. I don't know how it affects Klobuchar. I mean, the fact is she's the only female Democrat in the Senate who has not called for Franken's resignation. But having been a close ally of Franken and working closely with him, she didn't need to, considering the fact that all the other Democrats. Look, I think Klobuchar's election looks safe. I mean, look, 3 months ago, we were saying that Roy Moore looked safe in Alabama. So things can change. But the fact that you have two Senate races in the state is unusual, certainly not unheard of. But look, Republicans do win people. I mean, you don't have to have a long memory to remember Rudy Boschwitz and David Durenberger and Rod Graham. So Minnesota does elect Republicans to the Senate, and it's a possibility. And remember, Al Franken took almost a year to get his seat in 2008 and 2009 because he barely beat Norm Coleman. So there is Republican strength in Minnesota. I don't know if Franken's the scandal helps the Republicans, but I think, you know, there's certainly a likelihood of a Republican comeback, or at least a Republican strength in Minnesota in at least one of those two Senate seats.
Yeah, Ken, some of the speculation going on here is, will Governor Dayton appoint someone who is a placeholder in 2018, who will then have to run in 2018, or just somebody who's a placeholder who decides not to run And then the person that wins in 2018, of course, has to come back and win again if they want to hold the seat in 2020. There are some high political bars here, and I'm sure the governor is trying to figure out what to do about that. You have some
insight?
Again,
the fact is we're talking more about politics, and it goes back to the thing I said earlier. If it were Tim Pawlenty and not Mark Dayton as the governor, would there be as much pressure on Al Franken to resign and lose that Senate seat? Look, you have to talk in political terms because a lot of the calculations are political, and of course the Democrats want to take the higher road in this, and that's why they did everything they can to say, look, we're the party of. You know, we're the party who cares about women. That's why John Conyers is gone. That's why Al Franken is gone. And where's the Republicans with Roy Moore and Blake Farenthold in Texas and Donald Trump are still in office. So
and Troy Franks in Arizona gone, right?
Well, he's gone, exactly right. Yeah. And a lot of it is politics as usual. And there's also the right thing to do. And I'll make the argument, and I think we're on the same page as this, is that the Democrats, by forcing out people who are accused of this, are doing the right thing.
Ken, I'll talk to you next week or soon. Thanks.
I can't see what happens by then. Thanks, Gary.
Sarah in Minneapolis called to say the comment that was just made that how could Franken have waited until the ethics committee was done? She says women have withstood sexual harassment for years. That's how he could have done it. And she adds that was a male comment to make.